Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're back to answer questions. We previewed that question in part one, so could you give us that question again, Layla?
Yeah, from John. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, for someone that suffers from Raynaud's due to frostbite, do you have any suggestions to alleviate symptoms?
Okay. Well, I didn't really... you could have Raynaud's without frostbite,
yes.
Obviously.
Yeah. Don't get frostbite.
Yeah, don't get frostbite. And frostbite is not the main cause of Raynaud's. Raynaud's is sometimes associated with autoimmunity.
Yeah.
And can be a sign of the onset of autoimmunity. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just a phenomenon that's isolated from any kind of other health problem. And it means that under cold temperatures, your hands vasoreact, and you get a clamp down of your circulation to your extremities. Now, this is actually adaptive in cold temperatures because, you know, you want to...
Save your circulation for your core.
Yes, yes.
To keep you warm,
yeah,
right?
That's what the purpose of it is. But it can cause pain. It can cause, you know, blue fingertips. And I have to say that I've had Raynaud's phenomenon. I didn't have the associated disease. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot better since I've been taking fish oil.
Oh.
And, you know, fish oil is what cold water mammals use to, if you take a bottle of cod liver oil and you put it in the freezer, you can still pour it. It's going to be like viscous, but it will not freeze up.
Freeze.
Doesn't turn into a solid.
Right.
Because it's kind of an antifreeze. Mm-hmm. And it does promote circulation. Hmm. You may want to take something that promotes nitric oxide, like arginine, citrulline, or some nitrates, dietary nitrates from beet.
Eat a lot of green leafies. Get
beet
some
extract.
Beets, drink some celery juice.
Yeah, yeah. Beet juice,
things like that.
That
before you go out in the cold.
Magnesium may prevent vasospasm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How are we doing on that?
Yeah.
I think those are among the things that are helpful.
Yeah.
Some studies, not studies, but more, I think this is more anecdotal, is that taking niacin can be helpful, but niacin promotes a flush.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's that helpful in Raynaud's. It's pretty unpleasant to have that flush.
Yes, that you don't want that kind of unpleasant flush. So, because it has an autoimmune component, I would advise John to eat an autoimmune diet, maybe something paleo.
We don't know that. We don't know
that.
Yeah, so
exactly.
if it were to have that, then we would go, full bore autoimmune paleo diet, you know, for say something like scleroderma or something like that or something along those lines.
Okay.
Is associated with Raynaud's.
Yeah. Keep your fingers warm, John. All right.
Yeah. Move to Arizona, Florida.
Move to, exactly.
Where, people get it from the air conditioning, though.
Oh, you could.
Yeah.
I'm often colder in summer. All right. Oh, here's one.
They actually did a study, the Air Force did a study, because they do expose their personnel to cold temperatures, and they wanted to see if they could alleviate that.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is they put Air Force personnel in warm jackets on the rooftops of their barracks in winter, exposing them to cold temperatures while their hands were immersed in warm water.
Mm.
Not hot water, because that could be damaging,
yes.
But warm water, body temperature water. So what that does is it sort of resets the reflexes. So that you have a reflex in cold temperature to vasoconstrict.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, when you do that, in cold temperatures, you vasodilate because of the warmth of the water. So you may be able to retrain your nervous system. That, according to a study, this is a very old study, I remember it from the 80s, did show some alleviation of cold extremities.
Wow.
And it's an arduous process because you got to go outside your backyard or, you know, your fire escape.
Have warm water around. Yeah.
You got your fire escape or your patio or your rooftop or something and sit there in a beach chair with a couple of pans of warm water. You know, it's a process.
On a hot plate, both sides, something like that.
Yeah, you know. I guess these days you could use hand warmers, you know, like.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Here's our. Oh,
so actually, yes. Somebody has come out with, there's this new, there's this company that makes sort of like trendy clothes for men. And they come out with this jacket that is, it's run with artificial intelligence and responds to the external temperature by turning on various heat, embedded heat elements within the jacket.
A smart jacket?
Yes, yeah, like a smart jacket.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, and that's like a coming apparel trend. So you ostensibly, you'll be looking like you wear something very light, but it's going to be...
What
like,
is that MSRP for? Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm a little concerned about maybe the EMFs, because I'm really not a fan of electric blankets. You know, I think electric blankets are terrible. And the worst thing in the world is you're pregnant and you use an electric blanket. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, they any kind of current creates an electric field around it.
Yeah.
So I just do not have that close to my body.
Yeah. Don't have your cell phone on your nightstand either.
That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story. Here's the constipation question, Dr. Hoffman. What can I do with bad constipation?
Well, this is the first person who's ever asked us that.
Right.
I mean, my entire practice, I've never encountered anybody.
You never. I know. I never have either. What's up?
35 years, and that's the first time that question has hit. Essay question.
It is. Okay, first things first. You want to drink enough water, no matter what.
Okay.
You have to drink enough water, and if you're taking a daily fiber supplement and you don't drink enough water, you will have constipation. It will happen. Mm-hmm. Therefore,
because,
make
you
sure.
Know, when the, I know that when the ancient Israelites, I know this from the Bible, they built the pyramids mm-hmm. with bricks that were made of straw. So when you dry straw, like fiber, it becomes very impacted.
Yes.
And very strong construction material.
Mm-hmm. And an obstruction in your intestines. Yes.
So in the desert sun of Egypt, those you know, mixing the earth with the straw became bricks.
Wow. All right.
I think I saw that in the movie Exodus.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Charlton Heston.
Okay.
So anyway, water.
Other things with water, you want to
and
then
by the way,
make
by
sure.
The way, mm-hmm. let's talk about fiber because there's two types of constipation. There's the ordinary, you know, typical standard American diet constipation where like take some more fiber for goodness sakes and you go to the bathroom. It's great because you're eating like, you know, refined food with no fiber.
Exactly.
You know, like fast food and hamburgers with like spongy bread.
Bread it's and like, nothing else. Yeah. No side salad. No
so that's
broccoli,
number one type. Unfortunately, we almost never see that here because we see smart, savvy patients who've tried everything.
That's true.
And they have the number two kind of constipation where no matter how much fiber they take, the fiber just bloats them.
Yes.
It just doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't help.
And that's more complicated. That's a motility problem to mm-hmm. some extent. It's the musculature and the nervous system of the intestine that aren't moving things along.
Mm-hmm. It could be related to SIBO, which could be related to the PPIs they were taking.
A certain type of SIBO, because most SIBO is related to diarrhea, but there's a subtype of SIBO that's related to diarrhea. Methane predominant SIBO is more diarrhea.
More constipation. There's also people who are taking heroic amounts of fiber, but their microbiota is kind of messed up. And once they start a probiotic, voila, problem is solved.
Okay.
Or they start taking a prebiotic like Flowy or Kiwi extract. We have to start calling it Flow. It's Flow, not Flowy.
P-H-L-O-E.
P-H-L-O-E.
Kiwi extract, a very effective, product. It's a little hard to get. It comes from New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's not on full script.
Right.
Some people are selling it in the U.S.
Yeah.
Some people think it's a godsend.
Yeah.
What about magnesium?
Magnesium is wonderful, especially the citrate form of magnesium. Because it's the least bioavailable, it's basically hanging out in the colon and drawing more water to it. It's a natural stool softener. Mm-hmm. Can save the day. But if you're somebody who doesn't drink enough water, I've encountered patients, how many cups of water a day do you have? Two? Absolutely not. And how many cups of high-test coffee are you having? Oh, about six. So you're dehydrated on top of all that.
Okay.
And you're taking this magnesium. Magnesium has nowhere to draw water from. You're already dehydrated. You don't even know that you feel bad because this has been chronic.
And how much magnesium citrate? Do you take one or two a day?
Oh, you could take one or two. You could start with 200 milligrams, 400 milligrams.
Try this on a weekend before you're commuting to the office.
Right. You don't want to be strap hanging and go, oh.
The magnesium is really working.
It's kicking in. Yeah. The magnesium is
so,
kicking in.
But I actually have patients who take six or eight routinely, and they're okay. Now, what about just like, you know, laxatives, Swiss Chris, X-Lax, those
they
kind
all
of?
They all contain stimulant laxatives, senna, all of that. You can become dependent.
Yeah.
It can also
then
cause
then you really can't go to the bathroom.
Then you really can't go to the bathroom without them. Mm-hmm. So that's quite awful. Mm-hmm. So besides, you know, any other kind of anatomical or motility issue having to do
now,
with...
No, so let you know, beyond that, there are new drugs for constipation. I would actually see about going to a gastroenterologist for those.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do that as a last resort, frankly, because there's some people who don't respond anymore to nutrition. They just have really gonzo elimination. Mm-hmm. And then they do need some of these newer medications. Yeah. The newer medications are targeted towards... really changing the osmotic
that's true.
Balance and
another thing that comes to me just from our case studies is those who have food allergy and they don't know it.
Oh yeah,
they
dairy,
give up wheat, they give up gluten.
Constipation in,
voila,
in children,
it's gone.
Eliminate dairy
in children, especially dairy.
Yeah.
And you know, cheese is constipating. Also, give up the BRAT foods. BRAT is the acronym for bananas, rice, that's
because of
white
the the opioid effect of wheat is
wheat.
You know, and when you take anytime you're on opioids, you get terrible constipation.
Yes.
Well, wheat has an opioid effect.
There you go.
So for some people, wheat, even whole wheat, is not good.
Yeah.
Some of the newer medications, I'm looking them up, but I got to say,
Linzess
is one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Miralax, of course, can work,
is another one.
You know.
And it's the propylene glycol more than anything, and that's why a lot of physicians say you could take it every day, but why?
Some people, can use a little bit of lactulose. You know, we can prescribe that. Mm-hmm. There's another one called Amitiza. It's it's a prescription medication. But I think in the future what they will have, I think they'll be able to have, you know, like right now they have heart pacemakers. You know, if your heart slows down and isn't working, you get like a little bit of an electrical impulse to get your heart to normalize. They're working on that for the intestine. And I think the technology is not quite there yet.
Wow.
But they're actually developing that for gastroparesis, people who have like a real slowdown, slow motility.
Yeah.
And eventually they may have an intestinal pacemaker. And, I don't know, maybe it's like something you'll take to the bathroom with you and just turn it on to like evacuate mode. And, you know, so really this is what's going to happen.
That would solve problems for a whole lot of people that I could think of.
Some people
right
have just terrible problems.
They just don't go.
Some of it's due to poor diet. Some of it's due to laxative abuse.
Yes.
You know, too long with laxatives. They don't, you know, after a while you don't respond anymore.
Not enough water, not enough fiber, not enough feeding of your microbiota, eating the BRAT foods.
Poor
bananas,
bowel habits,
rice,
you know, certain jobs
applesauce,
preclude, you know, normal ability to go to the bathroom. You know, if you have to, like, go to, you know, filthy public bathroom at work.
Exactly.
And, some people.
Exactly. Some people will only have a bowel movement at home.
Yeah.
Get over that, please.
Yeah.
Get over that. When you have to go, you have to go. A lot of people will ignore nature's call because they're too busy. Don't do that.
Right. It's there's a reason they call it bowel habits.
Yeah.
Because the body gets used to a certain rhythm.
Yeah.
And it's for some people, it's like, well, you know, you ask them, when do they go to the bathroom? They go, well, I don't know, when I have to. It's like, well, how often is that? It's like, I don't know, maybe every week.
My God.
It's like, so it's there's no habit there.
There's no habit there.
It's like you wait until like the dam is about to burst. And then, you know, so it's sort of a behavioral thing to some extent.
Right. Or the other reason to pay attention to when you have to go, it reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where Kramer didn't go when he had the urge to go. So he missed his time,
classic
right?
episode.
So then what he had to do was eat all these bran flakes, and he was doing all kinds of things, and it wasn't happening. Jerry, I missed my time.
You know, it's The Seinfeld show is the book of life.
Oh my God.
It's like every conceivable situation that you can imagine in modern life is depicted in that show. If you just archive that show, you will have an example of every Bubble Boy, that was a great one. No immune system. You know, we had that too.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
A lot of medical riffs. Okay. Let's pause for a second and allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. Please listen up. Here goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now let's get away from bowel movements.
Yes.
We?
We're moving back to autoimmunity, Dr.
Hoffman. Okay.
And the question is about, is low-dose naltrexone a good treatment for my 12-year-old daughter with autoimmune disease? This is what the 12-year-old girl has. She was diagnosed with left SI joint sacroiliitis.
Sacroiliitis.
Sacroiliitis. Yep. Ankylosing spondylitis.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. This is in Hong Kong, and she's working with a functional doctor in Hong Kong.
Okay.
She has overpopulated Klebsiella pneumoniae. Okay.
And by the way, that may sound obscure and, you know, like we're talking.
It's for IBD,
It's specifically linked. That bacteria is linked to the incidence of ankylosing spondylitis.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the few conclusive links between something that lives in the intestine and a rheumatological condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Is Klebsiella also associated with inflammatory bowel disease?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Interesting. So.
But it's an example of what's called molecular mimicry.
Yeah.
The body, attacks the Klebsiella. Because it's a foreign invader, mm-hmm. but also directs an misdirected autoimmune attack against the joints.
Yeah.
The synovial membranes.
So apparently this young lady is under good care in Hong Kong with a functional doctor. They're prescribing herbs to kill the pathogens. She's on the specific carbohydrate diet.
Wonderful, yeah.
Which is
terrific. It's going to change her flora intestine.
Yeah. So Barbara is wondering, is LDN?
Yeah, worth getting. I have to say, I not treated a lot of ankylosing spondylitis patients with LDN. Mm-hmm. They've done well. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it was the LDN that's done it or the diet or other supplements.
Mm-hmm. And even in a 12-year-old.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's no reason not to use LDN. And it's low-dose naltrexone. It's a low dose of a medication used to treat opiate addiction.
Yeah.
But it's at a low dose that actually rejiggers the immune response in such a way that the autoimmunity is reduced.
And I want to clarify, Barbara says, is low-dose naltrexone a good supplemental treatment for my daughter? It's not a supplement. I just want to clarify
It's
a prescription.
But I think she means an add-on to what she's done. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's an adjunct to what she's doing.
Yeah. I just want to clarify that it's not something you're going to get over the counter. I don't know about Hong Kong, but okay.
Yeah. I think it might be hard to get over there, but these sound like resourceful people.
Yes.
And they'll be able to obtain it from foreign country, possibly.
Wow. Barbara, best of luck to your daughter. Thank you for this very, very thoughtful question.
Yeah, and this comes to us from Hong Kong, which is nice to hear that, you know.
Yeah. We have an email from Ellen. Cooking in a cast iron skillet, how safe is it?
Well, it's interesting that you ask, because that's sort of what a certain tribe and I forget the name of the tribe in East Africa do.
Mm-hmm.
And these East Africans are primarily cattle herders.
Mm-hmm.
And they're an example of an African tribe that actually has the ability to drink milk. Mm-hmm. And they're pastoral. In other words, they have cattle.
Yeah.
And they make beer in their Iron Age in their technology. So they use iron, and they've traditionally made a form of beer in iron vats. But they eat a lot of meat, and they have, as a result, a high incidence of hemochromatosis. They have a high incidence of elevated iron.
Okay.
Because it's sort of crude iron, not really industrially refined or made.
Mm-hmm.
And the iron leaches into their system.
Yeah. So, that can happen from a cast iron skillet as well.
And that's a desirable thing.
Yeah.
For
those who are anemic, iron poor.
By the way, I use a cast iron skillet almost every morning for my eggs, and it works great.
Yeah.
And I don't have, iron overload. You don't get much iron, but you get a little.
You don't get much. You do get some.
So for a woman who's maybe a little iron deficient, that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
But, check your iron. Just find out. If your iron is elevated, I wouldn't use cast iron. But
that's
to anybody
true.
Whose iron is normal, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah. I'm also thinking that a well-seasoned skillet is going to leach less than if you're not properly seasoning it. Certainly, Ellen, I would advise that you not use Teflon, those nonstick things. Those are actually carcinogenic.
You know, a well-seasoned cast iron pan can be your best friend because it really has good heat
qualities.
It makes
the best steak if you're doing it on a skillet rather than
And it's cheap, it's heavy. I mean, if you have arthritis, it's hard to lift. But
you need both your hands when you wash that thing. And you can't touch it too soon after you've turned off the flame. You have to wait a while. That's got to cool down. Yeah. All right. So cooking in a cast iron skillet is safe for those who don't have high iron or hemochromatosis. They could pretty much use it regularly. And I think it's probably every chef's friend. Thank you, Ellen, for your question.
Yeah, I'm looking this up. This is the iron question. Mm-hmm. Originally, this was blamed on ungalvanized barrels used to store homemade beer, which led to increased iron levels in the beer. Further investigation has shown that only some people drinking this sort of beer get an iron overload syndrome. Well, some genetically prone individuals.
That's true.
So there's, and this is, certainly hemochromatosis is prevalent in a lot of Caucasians, but in a certain percentage of African Americans, they've inherited that susceptibility.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And really the best test for that, for Ellen, is check your ferritin levels.
Ferritin.
Certainly if you have a higher hemoglobin or hematocrit, that should kind of direct your doctor or inform your doctor to look at your ferritin levels as well. Especially if you're postmenopausal. So, yeah. Okay.
There you have it. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's Q&A with Layla. And so please send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Continue to support our sponsors, please, because, they're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. They're all great sponsors. We vet them very carefully. We believe thoroughly in what they're offering. We're not mercenary about accepting sponsors. And we'll be back with you next week. Keep those questions coming for more Q&A with Layla.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.